Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christensen, pharmacist. And today I'm going to cover stimulant laxatives. Now, as with any over-the-counter product, there are a ton of different brand names and stimulant laxatives on the market. So I obviously can't cover every single brand name that you might see out there. However, there are two major drugs that are classified as stimulant laxatives, and it is bisacodyl, which is the generic name, and it is senacides, or senna, is the other product common name. Both these are stimulant laxatives. Brand names you might see senna, senacide, senacot, jericot, xlax, bisacodyl. Brand names you might see, Dulcolax is definitely the most common. I have seen various Xlax products will have different ingredients in it depending upon what's in it and what it is. So I can't stress that enough. Obviously, hopefully, you're a healthcare professional listening to this. You've really got to look at the back of that label if you absolutely want to know what's in an over-the-counter product, because these brand name change, there's different formulations and all that sort of stuff. So pay attention, look at the back of the label. If you're on a phone interacting with a patient, something like that, have them send you a picture, have them read it off, what it says on the back, which that can be challenging sometimes too with visual difficulties and small writing, but do the best you can to get the info off the back of the label rather than just the brand name of the medication, because it could have different components within it. The mechanism of action for stimulant laxatives, it's kind of in the name. These drugs stimulate the smooth muscle of the intestine, and by doing so, that contraction, relaxation propels fecal material through the intestine and obviously out through the colon. So with that propulsion, when I think of side effects, usually these drugs are pretty well tolerated. But with that stimulation of that smooth muscle, I tie that into the adverse effect profile, and probably the most common thing I've seen patients complain about is a little bit of abdominal cramping versus something like a stool softener alone. That isn't typically going to cause any of that cramping because it doesn't directly stimulate the muscles. So probably the major, most common adverse effect I hear of is patients complaining about that abdominal cramping. Again, not a extremely high percentage or anything like that, but if you do run into adverse effects, that's probably what you're going to hear about from patients. Now, this may sound like a no-brainer, but one other potential adverse effect is diarrhea from these medications, and I say that not to be a smart aleck or anything, but patients sometimes, especially geriatric patients, don't know what they're taking. And if they have, you know, a list of pills that they were told to take by their doctor and they're reporting diarrhea to you, one of the first things you should do is make sure that they're not on a laxative type medication. And I absolutely have seen patients on senna, on bisacodyl, and they're taking it routinely as they were told to do, and they're having diarrhea, and they don't recognize that that's what that medication is for. So it sounds kind of stupid to say that stimulant laxatives can cause diarrhea, but sometimes patients aren't aware and they don't pay attention that they're actually taking this type of medication. Talking about patient expectations, you've got to make sure your patients are aware that this is not an immediate fix. So if they take a senna tablet, for example, they're probably not going to have a bowel movement in 15 minutes or a half hour, okay? It takes a little while to kind of get into the system and get, you know, down to the site of action and create that movement within the bowel and that muscle contraction. Have a defecation or go to the bathroom. So onset, anywhere from probably, 6 hours, maybe up to a day, before this medication really gets working and produces that bowel movement, which is obviously what the patient is going to be after. So definitely tempering those expectations a little bit and making sure patients recognize that this probably isn't going to work within an hour. So that's an important thing, and I have had patients ask me that before. Now, with the availability of these drugs over the counter, it is important to recognize certain symptoms that may necessitate a referral to a healthcare provider. So if you're one of the people on the front lines, a nurse, pharmacist within a community pharmacy, and you're noticing that, patient is consistently coming to pick up laxatives over the counter, they're needing laxatives more and more and more, it's really important to make sure there's not something else medically going on and or something else from a medication perspective going on that's causing this constipation, because there are lots of non-drug interventions that we can do to try to help manage constipation if that's what it is. But we can also change medications, and we can also ensure that something from a medical perspective isn't going on as well. So warning signs, alert signs. So if patients are requiring these medications day after day after day for a period of a few weeks, that type of thing, that is concerning and should kind of warrant a referral. Obviously, if they're being guided under medical supervision to take these on a chronic basis, that's not obviously quite as concerning there. Somebody's keeping an eye on them anyway. Another symptom concern that should alert you right away is any type of bleeding or blood in the stool. Very, very important that we get that assessed and we figure out what the heck is going on there. So a couple important things that you need to think about. If something doesn't feel right, obviously refer that patient on to be assessed there, because some patients definitely do try to treat things on their own and take over the counters and really don't want to seek medical attention. But if you're on those front lines and catch that, definitely refer those patients on where those symptoms are dragging on, or there's alert symptoms like bleeding. Now, many geriatric patients take chronic laxatives, and I am very sensitive, obviously, to polypharmacy patients and pill burden and those patients that are on 10, 15, 20-plus medications, and I have seen a lot of duplication within the constipation realm. So probably one of the most common things I have seen, so let's say you've got a patient taking Sena-S. So Sena-S contains senicides as well as a stool softener, which is typically docusate. So that combination, I have seen added on a separate dose of docusate. Whether the provider does it recognize that Sena-S contains docusate, or they're doing it for a different reason, here we are just kind of adding more pills, and we've got one medication, the Sena-S, that has both medications, that has two medications in it, and then we add on another medication, docusate, that's already in the Sena-S. So it really can add up, create a large pill burden for patients. Another situation I've seen is duplicate stimulant laxatives, so a Dulcolax or a Bisacodyl with a Sena or Senicides, and a clinician not recognizing that these medications work the same way, or the patient is taking over-the-counter laxatives on their own, and the provider says to begin taking a different stimulant laxative. Okay, so a few situations where I've definitely seen polypharmacy result, duplicate therapy result, and good way to try to reduce pill burden and making sure our patients are trying to avoid and minimize polypharmacy there. Let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and I'll finish up on drug interactions. If you enjoy the content of this podcast, go ahead and support our sponsor, meded101.com/store, STORE. There's great resources for practicing clinical pharmacists, nurses, physicians, med students, PAs, nurse practitioners, all sorts of different clinical folks that work with medications. Meded101.com/store is where you can find that whole list of resources. For pharmacists specifically, we also have board certification study material as well. So pharmacotherapy, NAPLEX for pharmacy students, board certified ambulatory care pharmacist, as well as geriatric pharmacist too. So go check out those resources. Appreciate your support and the sponsor, and obviously supporting the podcast as well. So wrapping up on drug interactions today. With stimulant laxatives, we're pretty fortunate in that there is not a ton of drug interaction. So that's definitely a good thing. But I do want to alert you to a couple things that you may rarely see anyway. So first, I did mention diarrhea. You've got to think about other medications that can cause diarrhea, so it may kind of exacerbate those things. Obviously, if you run into that situation, you're going to stop the stimulant laxative if they're having, you know, loose stools and diarrhea. So it's pretty easy, pretty straightforward to deal with on that front. Now, I will say there is a slight difference with Bisacodyl and Senna. So I know a lot of patients who take antacids, things like Tums, calcium carbonate, and Bisacodyl specifically. The effects of that medication can be reduced if taken with antacids. So if you've got a patient, maybe they're taking Bisacodyl chronically, maybe they're on chronic opioid therapy with it. If you begin taking an antacid, taking Tums, calcium supplementation, for example, you may run into a reduced effectiveness of that medication, necessitating an increase in that dose to try to maintain their constipation diarrhea balance. So very important to remember that one. Both Bisacodyl and Senna, there is a potential risk to kind of exacerbate the effects of polyethylene glycol. So that would be a brand name like Miralax. So important to, maybe remember that. With that said, I definitely have seen these agents used together. But important to note that you may kind of get some additive type effects when you're using a stimulant laxative with a polyethylene glycol type product. So that is the podcast for today. Remember to go to reallifepharmacology.com, get your free top 200 study guide. It's a 31-page PDF, very large PDF, where I kind of break down the top 200 drugs and really give you essential critical information that often shows up on pharmacology exams and exams kind of throughout your career when you're being tested on medications. So go snag that for free. With that, I'll also send out emails when I've got new releases of the podcast as well. So very cool thing to go check that out and snag that for free. I've got that free Audible book. You can find that at meded101.com/store. If you've never had a book from Audible, go snag that for free. You can get 6 to 8 hours of audio content by going through those links at meded101.com/store. If you love the podcast, leave us a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It's greatly appreciated. Share us with a colleague, a friend, a student, in trying to advance medication knowledge. With that, thanks so much for listening. Take care and have a great rest of your day.